Morning,
Thank
Sean.
Morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Yeah, right. Welcome, guys. And I remember that in our previous discussions, we had talked about bonds and shares and the money market and, you know, generally a nice look on investing. And I've been wondering, are there any other alternative investments that you would actually be keen or interested in sharing with us this morning?
Okay. Thank you very much, Sean.
Here.
I think maybe I can just start with the definition of what we call an alternative investment. Basically, this is an investment in that falls outside of the traditional asset classes that we talked about in the past episodes, which is cash, bonds, and listed equities. So these investments can be in tangible assets such as art, wine, financial assets such as derivatives and private equity. With Edmifira, we currently regulate private equity operators, and we allow the use of derivative instruments to manage risk within collective investment undertakings.
Yes.
Let me just describe at a very high level how the private equity model works and derivatives.
Here.
So basically, private equity is these are funds that are grouped together by investors that directly invest in private companies or engage in buyouts of public companies, resulting in the company being delisted off the stock exchange. Please note that these are basically very, very high, what we deem as high-risk instruments, because you need to have very, very unique knowledge and substantial amount of money in order for you to be able to carry out these investments. So they are not necessarily what we would say are for the retail sector. So they are for what we call high net worth investors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And of these alternative investments, which ones are actually under Edmifira supervision? I think that would be key to understand as a potential, especially if we're now talking high net worth individuals, high risk investments. There's a lot on the line.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first one is the private equity. So private equity, like I just explained, basically they operate a model where they either go into a business where they feel they can either expand it or delist them and operate it privately, and they feel that this is an opportunity for them to profit from that. Now, the model requires for there to be what you call limited partners. They generally own 99% of the fund, and a general partner who basically is performing the investments on behalf of the limited partners. And these are very long-term investments, as you can imagine. If you want to expand a company, you're looking around no less than 10 years. So this is for what you call patient capital. You have to really be there for the next 10 to 15 years in order for you to be able to see out the investment and actually make a return on it. And then the other investment is what we call derivatives.
Yes.
Derivatives are basically an asset class that derives its value from a different asset. So there's an underlying asset, but the derivative itself is basically deriving its value from that. So basically, you can have a derivative of gold. There's a limited number or supply of gold, but you can derive more asset classes out of the price of gold.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember in our last conversations as well, we've actually been talking a little bit about online trading of securities. And I was wondering if, you know, how safe and secure is it? What exactly happens when one ventures into online trading of securities? And just wanted to find out if you could maybe expand a little bit more on that issue and drop us a bit of advice here and there, if there are any plans or to have any participants in this area, in this be regulated.
Okay, thank you very much. as we've seen, technology has really has had a foothold of how we invest.
Yes.
So an online trading platform is basically a platform where one can invest or do what basically a broker does. Instead of you going to the broker's office, mm-hmm. you can just do it via this platform that is on the internet. So it's either you can engage an online broker or you can do it yourself as an individual should you feel you have the skills to be able to trade on your behalf.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, it has a few advantages because unlike going to an office, you might get a lower brokerage fees, unlike you going to your broker directly.
Uh-huh.
And trading can be done from almost anywhere at your time, unlike where there's a broker who has office hours and so forth.
Yes.
But as you're talking about, because of that, the platform has its pitfalls because it's very likely that as an individual, trading will not be what you call your day-to-day duty. So there is that ability that you might make mistakes. And these mistakes are very, very costly in the sense that should you buy or sell the wrong asset at the wrong time, you'll lose a significant amount of money. It is also very internet dependent. So you need to ensure that you have internet that has a certain level of quality to ensure that there's no disruptions during your trading.
Mm-hmm.
And it also takes away that personal relationship that you may have with a broker in terms of you having a conversation, getting comfort in the investment that you would want to make.
So in this instance, is this something that we can do in the beautiful confines of our BW, or in terms of its legality, is this something that we can do as individual investors? Because I know that the NBFIRA regulates quite a bit of the market. So we just wanted to find out on that side.
We're at the latest stage of developing the online trading rules.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that we have already drafted and engaged our stakeholders. And we can say we're now at the final stages where we're probably waiting for an approval that I can't say exactly when we'll get the approval, but it is something that we have proactively taken as a regulator because unfortunately we cannot stop the winds of change. This is where... this is how business is going to be conducted in the long run.
Especially when you look at the current epidemic the pandemic that we're going through, the coronavirus COVID-19,
yes.
Obviously needing for people to stay as distant from one another as possible. I think things like online trading would be the way to go. So it's quite a bit of a breather to know that you guys are in the final stages of the regulatory side of things. Now, I think maybe as we kind of maybe head towards the end of our conversation this morning, we've heard people complain, I think of late, talking especially about technology, of late people complaining about being cheated or losing money through pyramid schemes. There's, I think the most recent one, being run via the mobile phone application, WhatsApp. That was, a bit interesting there. What would you say? There are legitimate businesses like that, and how can they be easily recognized when you want to, as an investor, so that you don't lose your money?
Okay, I'll let that my colleague handle that.
Okay. Thank you for the question. I would start by saying that NBFIRA does not regulate pyramid schemes.
Uh-huh.
And pyramid schemes, as per Section 9 of the Consumer Protection Act of 2018, are not allowed in Botswana. Maybe just to give a definition of what a pyramid scheme is, it's an unsustainable business model where a few top members recruit new members who pay upfront costs up the chain to those who enrolled them. So as new members in turn recruit their own new members, a portion of the subsequent fees they receive is also kicked up the chain. Often these are often called pyramid scams, and they are considered to be illegal, like I've just said. So for one to recognize a pyramid scheme, they have the following features. They emphasize on recruiting. Mm-hmm. There's no genuine product or service that is being sold. They promise to pay high returns in a very short space of time. There's easy money or there's passive income. Then there's no demonstrated revenue from retail sales, and the commission structure is very complex. So those characteristics can help the listeners to identify if what they are being sold falls within those confines of the definition or the characteristics of a pyramid scheme.
Emma, gone re setse re tswalla ke batla go botsanyana hela ke latlhela just the last one off the side gore what would generally happen, what are the penalties that are in place if you guys have them ready for people that are operating pyramid schemes, gamongwa ka tswara, or those that willingly participate in a pyramid schemes, what are the repercussions gore a rotlhe re tla nna re ntse re re ke ne ka tsediwa ke batho ba ntha ba re go irwa madi. When do we actually say, bona, everyone needs to realize that the minute you are trading nothing but the promise of making money, it's a problem. Gore go iragala yang ka batho bao?
I just quickly went through the section that I referred you to, Section 9 of the Consumer Protection Act.
Emma.
And it mentions a penalty of around 100,000 for anyone who's caught doing that illegal activity.
Only the originator can, only a participant.
It doesn't say. I'll have to go back to the act and confirm. But it doesn't say. It just mentioned the 100,000.
Okay. Nice to know. Thank you so much, guys. It's always a beautiful learning session when we have a conversation with you, and I'm super super excited. Kidumela gore our investors and our potential future investors are also tuned in. They know what the right thing to do. But maybe just in case we need to check anything with you guys as the regulator, let's remind them gore ba ye
ko ntleng efe. Okay. Our contact numbers. 368-6100, and then we have our email info@nbfira.org.bw, and then we have our website www.nbfira.org.bw.
Aha.
Yes.
Emma, thank you so much for coming out Tebang le Mr. Sebolai for coming out and having a conversation with us. I'm not sure if we're going to be doing this again sometime soon.
Yeah, we're planning to prepare something for the future.
Awesome stuff. Mme ke le lebogela go boletse rena kwa lona gore rutuntsa ka tsa peeletso le gone gore re nne re tlhomile leitlhontlheng efe gore mogolo motho a se ka tloga re mohutswa phatlage go wa ya le phefo wa jalwa ke manong emma. Thank you so much, guys. I wish you all the best as you continue to regulate the industries out there.
Thank you very much.
Awesome stuff. Thank you. That was Mayor Maimon Tebang and Mr. Keith Sebolai out at NBFIRA talking, I think closing up our conversation with regards to investing, investments general, stock markets and all the like. So thank you so much. And we keep it moving right here on The Morning Dew.